Hello, and welcome to Diving into Diabetes, the podcast where we explore the latest advances and best practices on individualized diabetes care. I'm your host, Dr. Alana Halperin, an endocrinologist from Toronto, and I'm excited to welcome to the podcast with me today, Dr. Peter Lin. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Alana. I'm Peter Lin. I'm a family doctor in Toronto, and I'm also one of the directors of the Canadian Heart Research Center. Thanks for having me.
So today we'll be discussing the topic of digital ecosystems and connected devices in diabetes management. So Peter, why don't you start with the family doctor perspective and tell me what new technologies do you see that is transforming care for those living with diabetes?
Yeah, I notice a lot of patients are coming in initially with those fitness apps, you know, those tracker things, things like that. So things that really I wasn't paying any attention to. So it was helping the patients in terms of, you know, I'm doing 10,000 steps or 30,000 steps or whatever they were doing. So I think that was very exciting for the patients to get involved. I think in primary care, it's really become like about the continuous glucose monitoring, because I think that has really come into our space. And we now see the value of that. I think in the beginning, we thought, well, it's only for your sickest people and those kinds of things. But now we're discovering that it's actually helping people in terms of, you know, controlling their behaviors, you know, in other words, making sure they take their medications, it helps them with their diet and things like that. I have this one guy that I call the junkyard guy. So my junkyard guy is this patient that couldn't care less about his diabetes. Somehow his wife convinced him to get one of these, you know, devices to monitor. And after about 2 weeks of wearing this thing, I had a phone call with him. And that phone call was the best phone call I ever had. Like, he told me everything else. You know, when I eat Frosted Flakes, this is what happens when I do this and this. And basically, he was telling me everything. And I just, all I had to do was go, And I said, you know, these kinds of things are really helpful because it's giving the patient some advice and information. And it's about their lifestyle. So I think the CGM part of things have made it into it. Now, many of us are still not using it because we're thinking we have to go over all of the reports and everything else, but definitely the information to the patient is useful. Now, I must admit, in terms of insulin pumps, you know, in primary care, we don't have much exposure to that because even if we have a patient with that's on pump, is going to be looked after by you guys, right? So therefore, I rely on you for that one. And these new smart pens and smart caps, you know, for insulin, I think that's an area where that might be a little bit new to us. Now, Alana, I know that you're like a super a futuristic technological, you know, wizard. So what do you see right now in your practice?
I'm the Wizard of Oz, Peter, operating behind the screen.
Yeah. So what about these pumps and these, you know, connected pens and things like that?
I think it's really interesting that insulin pumps were around long before continuous glucose monitors. And what they offered at the time, really primarily for patients with type 1 diabetes, was a little bit of freedom from multiple pokes a day. A little bit more freedom in adjusting your insulin in real time to changes in physical activity, variation in your diet. And they got pretty good funding here in Ontario, I think because it was a different time. There was very strong advocacy, especially from the pediatric type 1 diabetes community. But for a long time, I used to say, I think we're funding the wrong technology because the evidence for continuous glucose monitors and how they can actually improve diabetes outcomes like A1C, like time below range, like quality of life was way better for continuous glucose monitors than it is for insulin pumps. And so there was a period of time where I was so busy getting everybody I had with diabetes, whether they have type 1 or type 2, really everyone using insulin, onto continuous glucose monitors. But then in around 2020, 2021, entered automated insulin delivery. And so I use the term automated insulin delivery. Some people use hybrid closed loop pump or artificial pancreas. These are areas that are really exciting, again, primarily for type 1 diabetes, which, you know, for our urban listeners is going to be managed mostly by endocrinologists and specialty diabetes educators. But certainly, you know, we hope we have a national audience here. And there are people living with type 1 diabetes who don't have easy access to primary care. I mean, sorry, don't have easy access to specialty care and maybe getting care through primary care. So I think it's good for primary care to understand the advances in the insulin pump space as well. But essentially what's happening in automated insulin delivery is you've got the continuous glucose monitor is constantly leading to micro adjustments in insulin delivery. So it truly is using artificial intelligence to an algorithm to predict where's the glucose going and slightly increase or decrease the insulin delivery, which even more so than using continuous glucose monitoring helps with those sort of what I would call the holy grail of diabetes, improving your time in range, decreasing your hypoglycemia, all while decreasing the burden of living with this complex chronic condition. But
and that's
not
basically,
everyone's
yeah, yeah. That's basically, you've got two halves of it. You've got the information on what the glucose is doing, and then you're able to execute what to do about it with the pumping side of it. Now, but then that's only certain patients, right? So we have a lot of patients on needles, okay? So let's say they've got the continuous glucose monitoring. So we've got one side of the equation, but the other side is their insulin usage. And I must admit, I have a lot of patients, I mean, they don't admit it to me, but when I say, are you using your insulin? They go, yeah. What's the dose that you're on? Well, you know, it varies, you know, like, so it's very kind of, I know that they're lying, but I won't poke a hole in it because I can't prove that they're lying.
Oh yeah, so, absolutely.
So for the pen side of things, how can we make it easier to keep track of that? Like, I mean, that's one of the things that patients get lost and I get lost and I don't have time to really sit there with them. So what are things, and you were talking a little bit about these smart pens. What's all that story?
Yeah, let's talk more about that. So I think that you're absolutely correct. And what's neat about when I look at an insulin pump report is that I don't sort of have to do the inquisition type of conversation with my patients. Did you take your insulin at this time? Did you remember? Did you forget? Because we all forget to, you know, do our basic self-care things. It's like, you know, did you remember to brush your teeth before you went to bed? And you ask them in the morning and you're like, I don't remember. So why would they remember if they injected their insulin or not? So an insulin pump report, I can see it really well. But right now in our current state for our needle users, our multiple daily injection, even patients with type 2 diabetes just on basal insulin, we know that up to a third of them will either miss their insulin, reduce their dose because of fear of hypoglycemia, or just take it at the wrong time of day. And all of that can have implications. And so the next sort of frontier is connected solutions that give us insulin data. And that can either be what we call a smart pen or a smart cap that is going to, usually through Bluetooth technology, send the dose and the time of the insulin to an app on a smartphone. And I'm really looking forward to the day where I can have patients in my office and look at a report that looks almost identical to the insulin pump reports, where I can see, okay, so here's your time in range and your time below range, and here's how much insulin you're taking, and here's where you tend to miss the doses, and here's where it seems to be a little bit too much for you. And then instead of doing a sort of 20 questions with your patient just to get to the solution is super apparent. And as you mentioned, Peter, sometimes they don't even need us. The solution becomes apparent to them without an intervention from a healthcare practitioner, because they start to see, oh, wow, every Sunday I miss my insulin dose because my routine is different. So I need to put in a reminder on Sundays because routine is different that day. And on their own, they figure it out, just like your junkyard patient who figured out that when he ate Frosted Flakes, his blood sugars went up a bit.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. So that idea of the patients figuring out is very attractive to me right now, because I know primary care is thinking, okay, here's another report to look over. So it's another piece of the paperwork that we have to do, that where everybody is being crushed by. But this idea that the patients would then have the information that they need. And as you were saying, if they look at their continuous glucose monitoring, and if this is all on one device, including when they took their insulin, then number one, they're going to realize that the insulin is really important for them and is really doing some good work. Because otherwise, they take the shot of insulin, they don't feel anything. They're not going to go check right away for most patients. Number two is that they have a sense of better control. So in other words, they can understand insulin adjustments and things like that much better as they're seeing this sort of live data on their own body. And I think those would be, you know, fantastic things. And I was watching how smart this little thing is. You put it on the cap, and as you're dialing up the insulin, this thing is keeping track of these things. And, you know, I guess with Bluetooth, without Bluetooth, we couldn't do half of what we're doing nowadays. And that all goes to a nice app that puts it all together. And as you were saying, you could look at it if you wanted to. But I think I'm looking forward to where the patients can really take over. And therefore understand how their body works and therefore make those behavioral changes. Because like I said, the junkyard guy, after he did that for 2 weeks, he basically changed how he ate and exercised. So he understood that his food was affecting it, his exercise was affecting it. The only thing extra that I told him is the medication will also affect it as well. He was only on orals, but you can imagine if they were on insulin, we need to mention that. And then finally, stress and infection. Okay, so that was the only extra piece left to tell him. And then basically, he had all the components to figure things out. And I'm hoping that with the smart pens and these smart caps, we would then take care of the treatment side of it. In other words, one side is measuring all these things, but the other side is actually the management. So I think that's very exciting, you know, as things go. What other things are you thinking about in the future? Like, are we talking about AI for everybody? AI seems to be everywhere, you
Yeah, you
know.
know, and I think there's steps with AI. So I think that when the connected pens first come to Canada, it's mostly going to be about data collection. I don't think that the app is going to be able to give the patients tips. But I think we could see a time where it actually says, we've noticed that you're waking up high 5 days in a row. Consider increasing your insulin by X units, right? And that's not even really generative AI. That's like pretty basic AI that can be done. We just need the health regulators to approve it. So I think that, you know, that's sort of the role of our diabetes educators right now, to help patients titrate to get to target. And right now they can't necessarily reach the patients as easily as we would like them to. Certainly, I think that just with having this data, you know, like you said, the family doctor's so busy, they may not look at the reports, but as endocrinologists and the diabetes educators, we'll look at the reports and quickly teach the patients what to look for. And hopefully soon the app will even be able to give them those little prompts and reminders, which again will bring, I sort of bring the people who are getting to make use of the true AI on the insulin pump side. Get it, the people who choose to use multiple daily injections to manage their diabetes, they shouldn't be sort of left behind and not treated as well because of that. And so that's what I'm really excited about, is getting the data into our hands. As you know, I often describe myself as a diabetes technology or diabetes data nerd. I want more data, gives me more opportunities to offer solutions to my patients. But even I think, as you've so well pointed out, getting it in the hands of the patients. So, because really they see us, what, for 10, 15 minutes, 3, 4 times a year, and they're making decisions about their diabetes multiple times a day, 365 days in a year. And so if they just have a little bit more tools at their fingertips, they should be able to self-manage more easily, just like your junkyard patient.
Yeah, and I think that makes a whole lot of sense. So until artificial intelligence comes, I think I want to promote human intelligence, you know. So, but to have human intelligence, you need the information. And I think that's where we're heading towards, is that now we've got continuous glucose monitoring, so we can have the glucose side information. And then now with these smart pens, we actually have the insulin side of the treatment side, and therefore we can put the two together. And for now, we'll use the brains of our endocrinologists, our expert diabetes educators, as well as our patients and family doctors. So we'll be the human intelligence right now to make the connections. And then maybe AI in the future will say, hey, nudge, 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 in a nice voice that says, hey, you forgot your insulin. Let's go take it. It's been 5 minutes overdue or something like that. But until that happens, I think just giving people the information is already very helpful. So I'm very hopeful for this as we move forward. So thanks for getting me up to speed in terms of pumps and also smart meters and smart caps and things like that as well.
Thanks, Peter. It's always a pleasure chatting with you. I think we did a good job for our listeners in sort of starting with, you know, how are monitoring devices helping our patients living with diabetes, and everything from fitness activity trackers to continuous glucose monitors, and now adding in that sort of data deficit that we've had around insulin devices and connected pens, or smart caps, however they might show up in Canada soon, will help us gather more information so we can have meaningful clinical conversations with our patients. And even more important, actually help the patients see how they can make adjustments in their medications from a day to day, or prevent them from missing their doses, et cetera. And we hope that we'll continue to see evolution in digital health tools to support people living with diabetes. So thanks for listening to the latest installment of the Diving Into Diabetes podcast. We hope you enjoyed our discussion of digital ecosystems and connected devices in diabetes management. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify, and stay tuned for new releases.